Hi, everybody, and welcome to Vanderpump Rules Party. I'm Holly Borges.
I'm Sarah C., and it's my fucking birthday, bitches.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday.
Only for like another half an hour. Gotta milk it. Okay, so bear with me because I was trying to celebrate in condensed version, like pack it in real quick.
Yeah.
I worked all day, and then we met late. And I was like, okay, I feel like I need to like slam them all down. So bear with me, but I think we're good.
Yes.
So, did you hear Jackson Brittany bought a house like a mile away from Tom and Ariana?
I did.
So I feel like a drive-by is coming in order.
I'm really disappointed that they bought a house so soon after. It's like Tom and Ariana suffered for years. Yeah. I wanted them to like at least like have like a year up on everybody.
Well, did you see Sheena's story? She's with her mom. She's like in the car, house hunting.
Of not course, tell she you is. Where.
And then everyone alluded to Christian buying one. It's like, okay. So, yeah, why all of a sudden did they all get their bonus checks at once? I don't know.
They've all been ready. I'm sure now the pressure's on, so they're just
to one up each other.
Yes,
and that's sad.
It is.
You shouldn't ever live your life that way.
Mm-mm.
Someone said like Vanderpump Valley.
Yeah.
Yeah. Still kind of holding up for Vanderpump Vegas.
Yeah.
I feel like that will be. It might be a little trashier, a little more. I got great news this week that Paradise Hotel is coming back, and not only is it coming back, but Kristen Cavallari is the host.
You like her?
I was always a Kristen fan.
Yeah.
Were you an LC fan?
Of course.
You know what though? I never watched Laguna Beach.
Oh, really?
I only like heard things. So I watched The Hills and I don't know. She just had a lot more personality for me. LC just seemed kind of like a drip. But I didn't watch Laguna Beach, so I don't have the background, so I'll give you that. But again, I guess this kind of goes back to, are you a Kelly or a Brenda?
Yeah.
Are you, you're a Brenda stans?
No, I didn't like Brenda.
Yeah.
But I didn't really like Kelly either.
No, she was a bitch. And you didn't really like Donna. You know who I liked? Valerie. Valerie Malone. Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
Yeah, I always just watch. I never had a favorite on 90210. But yeah, no, I definitely am an LC fan over Kristen. Just, ugh.
I mean, I was there for the Kelly Dillon story. Like, that was, like, groundbreaking. And it was also when they broke the ground of doing the summer episodes when no other network did that.
Yes.
And that was riveting.
It was.
I mean, that, and you could feel their chemistry.
Yeah, I loved it.
Like, I could never feel Brendan Dillon's chemistry. I didn't get it.
Yeah.
I think he just liked, oh, I've never met, like, a wholesome chick. But then, like, Kelly developed after that, and she, you know, she was still kind of like, I don't know, she just became a little deeper that summer.
Yeah.
She started talking about, like, her struggles, and
I've never seen a character develop like that on Vanderpump Rules. I can't think of anyone except for Laura Lee.
Yeah. They're pretty much still the same.
Yeah, exactly.
Good point.
Totally.
All right. So we talk about, well, how's it open?
It opens. Let me get to my notes.
T. Sandy in his like 1940s aviator, like Bug's Life look.
Yes. And okay. I have one comment about this whole episode because I feel like it's kind of like the bromance of the Toms, mm-hmm. You know, and are we really all like on board and willing to give so much time to their bromance? Like, do you believe in it? Do you want more of it? I just don't know how I feel about that. Like, yeah, I wrote a lot in my notes like, oh, cute. Oh, LOL. You know, and it almost gave me the warm and fuzzies if I didn't know how they were.
Yeah.
Like, if let's say like you just tuned into the show and you're like, how cute, Lisa's naming a restaurant Tom, and look at, they have a little motorcycle, and it's just like their relationship, like Schwartz is in the little sidecar.
Like, if you only ever watch the show.
Yes.
Yes.
If you only ever watch the show, it was like such a cute moment.
If you are a pure virgin viewer, well, you are not hearing us right now.
Right.
Because you probably aren't listening to this podcast and you probably aren't following them on social media.
But for
God bless you.
But for us people, I feel like it was a little...
Saccharine.
I didn't eye roll, but I almost did. Like, my head was tilting back a couple times.
Yeah.
But overall, it's like, I know that this was like a big moment for them and my cold heart was warmed a little bit.
I mean, it was kind of like Lisa when she's like, I don't know what they're doing. And I actually believe that because Schwartz didn't either. And so she's like, this is why. I'm like, well, that's a big stretch. Like, this is why I chose them. I knew they'd pull something out like this. I was like, really? You did a whole bar named it just for like one little moment?
Mm. And like, T. Sandy just loves a moment. He loves a surprise.
And I love that about him.
Me too. I do too. But I don't know. I had a hard time with it.
I like that he can hold a secret, though.
But it's like the pleasure he gets from it almost like cancels out like the actual deed. I don't know how to just like.
Yeah.
I've done this before, too. I have been guilty of this. I will get like so into something that like and so excited to give my gift that like I ruin it by being like so excited that like the other person can't even react up to my expectations.
Okay. It reminds me of like your baby shower because I was so stressed out about every logistic. And then I was supposed to meet Holly and be like, let's go to the spa. And then I'm not at the spa. So she's like, what the fuck? Why aren't you at the spa? And it's like, no, you reacted fantastically. It was more like in my own head, like everything needs to be perfect. Oh my God, I couldn't make it to the, because like the caterers hadn't arrived. So I couldn't meet you when I said I'd meet you. And so I was like, oh my God, she's going to know something's up. And then I had to like create this lie like, hey, I'm sorry I didn't meet you at the spa. That was our whole plan. But let's just, I met you now that you're done. I didn't even go into the spa. So what was the fucking point? But like, then I was like, oh, can we just stop down here to see Joel's parents are in town. You're like, who? Huh? What? I'm like, I was just like, they were, like, I killed the moment for me. Like, it was still a surprise to you. But like.
Yeah. You like over.
Over.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And I could almost see that happening for even Tom, too. And like everyone involved was just like,
when they ran out of gas. And I thought when they were pushing it, I was like, please don't push it up because that will just take everything out of everything he planned.
Yes. And the white suits pushing the thing. It was just, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So I loved how Ariana opened the scene up, like doing a makeup tutorial. It was really cute. I liked it. You know, she's like, okay, here's how you draw on a jawline.
Which I tried. I bought the Charlotte Tilbury thing and I looked like a monster. I looked like a monkey. Well, like a monkey's asshole.
What?
Like, from New Jersey. You didn't watch New Jersey?
No.
Oh, well, that was a line. You look like a monkey's asshole.
Who said that, Teresa?
Margaret said it to the new girl because she had super lined her lips, but all her lipstick in the it's like what we did in the 90s, and then it all faded away. So all that's left over is the liner.
I kind of like that look still. I liked the overlined, like, you know, lips. Like
Sheena owned that look in like 2003. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we've seen photos. And Margaret called her out. She's like, "You look like a monkey's asshole," and then I was like. Oh, she kind of does.
That's crazy.
Anyways, so when I tried the highlighter on the jaw thing, I looked like a weird monkey's asshole. And I was like, yeah, this isn't going to work.
I mean, maybe.
And I looked at the tutorial, too.
Maybe I don't know much about makeup or like what people's insecurities and things like that. But like all of the work that people get done to their jawline and like Botoxing and everything, like that's never even an area that like I would critique another woman on and be like, right. You know, you could really contour your jawline and really change how you look. Like, right. It's just, I never,
like I get the nose thing.
I never notice it. Like I don't notice it on Lala. I don't know what everyone's talking about. I don't get it.
In fact, like, I don't think it's her contouring anymore. It's her fillers and it's changed her face and I don't know. I thought she had a great face to begin with, but whatever you do you, but I don't know. I get the contouring, like people with nose and they don't like, then get a nose job. Like the Kardashians are famous for that. And they swear they haven't gotten nose jobs. We all know they have. But I do see with a proper, like a really professional makeup artist, it really can change a face.
I mean, also a good nose job can change, like can like take you to like a whole nother level. That well, and like a brow lift.
Are
I
we
feel
still
like.
Pretending that Kim K didn't have a nose job?
I don't know.
This is not contouring. She had a nose job.
Yeah, she looked different.
But I do see the difference of contouring. I do get it. I just, we all, I don't think your average person can really perfect it. I think you need a makeup artist.
I mean, remember Ashley Simpson? How crazy that was when she got her nose job. She looked like a totally different person.
Yeah. So did Jennifer Grey, you know, the girl from Dirty Dancing?
Uh-huh.
Like, the, people stopped casting her because they didn't know who she was. But in a way, it worked for her because everyone, it's like Marsha Brady. They always associate you with, oh, your baby from Dirty Dancing. So she got a nose job. She couldn't book jobs because people didn't think it was her. But at the same time, she was able to be recast. And now she's, you know, she's been in some great Lifetime movies.
Huh. Interesting.
But it completely changed her face. She looked like a different person.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. I'm just, yeah, I'm not talented enough or I don't have enough attention to detail or patience to like figure it out. I can't watch hours of makeup tutorials and it's just not in me.
Yeah.
So
that's why you trust a good makeup artist and let them do their magic.
Yeah. So did you see when Tom was getting dressed? I just noticed how vampirial white he was. His legs.
Yes.
Maybe that's why he has good skin.
Yeah.
He must, well, I guess we've never seen him in shorts, except for maybe a Speedo or something. I don't know. He's very white for LA.
Didn't, when they went to Mexico, didn't he wear like a little short suit? Remember he wanted everybody to wear it? And
right, but they were still kind of like kneeling.
Yeah, true.
Very white for LA because I am, you know, Nordic. I'm a Minnesota woman and my skin tone has changed since living in California and just walking, getting my steps in. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm tan. I don't want to be tan. I'm spraying sunscreen on, but I'm like, I'm just surprised he's that white living in LA because it change your.
Yeah, you know. It must really take effort to be that white. Seriously.
Yeah. Well, good for him.
Yeah. What did you think of the way they set up this opening scene? Like, it had me jumping all over the place. It's like, first we're at Tom and Ariana's, then we're at the Bubby's apartment, then we're at Jackson Brittany, then we're at Kristen and Carter's.
It was so hard to, like, note take because I like to separate me too. Each scene.
Me too.
But then they have, like, 30 seconds here, 30 seconds there. So, like, I have all these lines. And it was like,
I didn't like it. Oh,
Bubby, Bubby.
Yeah, I just put Bubby's apartment, gross. And then I put Jackson Brittany's apartment, awkward. Like, that's
Carter. Carter playing video games.
Yeah.
And then
all discuss Lala.
And then another scene of Bo in a wife beater. And for me, that's getting a little excessive, Bo. Like, enough already. Like, it's one thing to be like, yeah, wife beater. But now he's been in several scenes and it's not a great look for him. The wife beater look.
He's catching a lot of flack in the groups and on
He's not pulling an Adam Levine.
On the interwebs of, I'm seeing lots of posts like accusing him of, you know, coming off looking at, like a little unbathed and things like that.
A little sloppy.
That. Yeah. And
I don't feel like he's unwell like Schwartz sloppy. I just like. And he's not looking like hipster granola. He's just looking, a little.
I guess this is NASCAR why. This is why dad-ish. I question Stassi, and like really where like this, like where her mind is. Not saying that like she demands like someone like a Christian Grey type character, you know, who's like
right.
in a suit.
Well, she had that with Patrick,
right? And so maybe she's like really trying something different, but she. She has more style than this, and it has to be, like, really bothering her.
Yeah, it's fun when he challenges her, and he wants to wear, the costume or the bow tie or the overalls. That's fun, and it keeps her down to earth, and I love that. But at some point, you kind of have to do a little bit of both. Like, Well, Patrick was Christian Grey. He was completely psycho like that. Just mm-hmm. so anal and so put together that it was like, you're too put together for a dude.
I will never get over his trench. Like, it's ingrained into my memory, and his man bun, just all of it is just...
And we've seen Rob's Valletta in a trench, and yet he pulls it off.
Yes.
Because he's also casual here and there.
You know what? I will even say, when I saw that trench filmed on Rob's, I was like, yuck. But holy hell, in person, was it a different game. Like, it...
Well, and he also switched it up. You know, we'd see him casual in Big Bear. He took his trench off at our party. Like, you know, and he just wasn't pretentious.
Right. And I had no idea he was going to be that big. That was the other thing that really threw me off, is I didn't see Rob as tall. Mm-hmm. And he's much taller and broader than I thought.
Yeah. And also because, you know, usually actors and people on TV are much shorter and smaller than you think.
Yeah.
And Sheena is tiny. Ariana, tiny. So we didn't think he was that big, but we should have. But for some reason,
it just didn't. I guess I wasn't. Didn't register. I wasn't looking at him like that, you know, because why? I don't know. Just he didn't come off like that on the screen at all.
I mean, I feel like he was like 6'3".
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was really, yeah, he was
like
just...
Like on TV, he looks like 6 foot or 6'1". No, in...
And I'm not one to be affected by height. And like, it was like the first time where I was like, holy shit, like he... I saw what, like, why Sheena was like babbling.
Yeah.
I don't know what else to say.
No, true story, me too.
Yeah.
I'm like...
And I was not, like, it's not like I had, like, I thought he was hot before or anything. Like, I was just completely thrown off.
No, I just thought he was fine before. And yeah. Then in person, I was like,
I thought he was kind of a dick before. I'm not going to lie. Like, I don't know. Like, I thought some of the stuff he said, I was like, ugh. I wasn't sure about him. But then seeing him in person and meeting him, I was just like, boy, like, he really did get a different edit than how he really is.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of it was edited and taken out of context that made it to film. And, you know, he was very down to earth, very looked everyone in the eye, shook everyone's hand. You guys that were there at the party and that you guys that weren't there at the party, talked to Heather, talked to Allie, talked to Kimmy, talked to everyone that was, you know, Dax and people that were there, like, they'll say the same thing. He literally went around and shook everyone's hand, looked everyone in the eye. It was just
cool. Yeah, it was really cool.
Anyways, going off. We're digressing.
Okay. So, anyways, yeah. So, I just wanted to say that scene really bothered me.
It was just, like, a lot of bouncing around. And then they go to Sir, and they're like, Peter, are you going to go to Tom? And he legit, for the first time in my life, he seemed, like, irritated and a little pissed.
Which is like, thank you, Peter, for finally giving us an emotion.
That's not Mr. Positive Tony Robbins, Deepak Chopra. Oh, how many dollars in the day? He's like, no, I'm not going. I have to work. And he looked a little pissed off about it.
He did.
And I appreciate that.
Yeah.
And he should be.
Yeah.
Why couldn't Diana work?
Yeah, exactly.
Why couldn't he just pop in for the... I mean, he did do the... step into the manager role for the UK or Daily Mail UK party.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like, you know, he's given the short end of the stick.
I just want to say one more thing about when the group was kind of talking about Lala and everything that she did. I noticed that, like, Ariana is still taking her same stance of she thinks that Lala needs grief counseling and, you know, whatever. Like, I think she's being very kind about it. Like, if I watched that back, I wouldn't be mad if I was Lala. Like, I feel like she's being, she's saying it in a nice way. But I noticed for Brittany, I feel like Brittany... And Brittany really did take a brunt of her, what, you know, when Lala went off, she really had to sit there while she was going off and saying how she's better than everyone. But I got this weird feeling.
Which, like, I liked her for.
Me too. I felt like Brittany is, like, able to deal with Lala because she's, like, a little bit abusive. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like in the way that she delivers her thoughts and everything, like, wah! You know, she just like lashes out.
Brittany's not going to fight back.
Similar to Jax. And yeah. So she's, this is where like she's super sympathetic to everyone and especially an abusive sort of personality.
And she's not going to fight back. She's going to fight back at the hoe hitting on Jax.
Yes.
But she's not going to fight back at friends venting. Yes. And yeah.
Yes.
I mean, it is what Lala needed. It was clear Brittany did not agree with anything she said, but she just kept her mouth closed and just was like nodding, a little eye rolling, which I really love. Thank you, Brittany. But
yeah, I really liked the way she handled the whole thing too.
But yeah, you're right. She sucked it up and she sucked it up for Lisa. She sucked it up for the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
She sucked it up for Lala. She protected her. Why is she protecting her? She hated her a couple seasons ago.
Isn't she the one who, like, when it was really getting heated, she said, I'm not going to let you do this.
Yes.
And she stepped in front of her and pushed her back.
And that's when it transferred to the Billie Lee fight. And she's like, no, no. She pushed her back. I'm not going to let you.
I liked that.
Yeah.
It was a good friend.
Yeah.
Okay. So where were we?
All right.
Okay. So Peter can't go.
Katie is talking about she wants more time from Tom, and they show all the footage scenes from, oh, okay. So I agree with Sheena here. Like Sheena said, the best scenes that she filmed, they weren't aired, and they had a whole girls' night out. So Lala was somewhere else. And I think it's when Brittany and Lala were horseback riding. Sheena said she filmed the greatest night and that she had the best time with the Witches of WeHo. And it was those four girls.
Okay.
The four OG girls.
Mm-hmm.
And they had this great time and they were playing Truth or Dare, but it was all dares. And they did a little black and white footage of this. And she's like, I'm really bummed they didn't air that because we were all laughing. We had a great time, but it was fun. We were drinking. We were doing dares. Like, why didn't they film that? Why didn't they film the country cowboy bar? Remember, I was trying to go, but I didn't want to go alone. It's all the way in Solvang.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like they didn't show that either. But yet they're showing black and white footage. Again, producers, editors, stop protecting them. We want to see these scenes. And when the little footage they showed, like you could see Katie was drunk because her eyes were all watery again. Like they
Wait,
were.
Tell me what you're talking about exactly.
They went back to footage from Solvang.
Okay.
In a black and white montage because Katie at that point was confiding in the girls that she never sees Tom.
Oh, okay.
And that she goes to bed and he comes home late. And so she's sleeping and then he gets up before she wakes up and he goes to the gym. So then they miss each other and then they're back to their work thing. So they never see each other. And so she was saying this and, you know, she says this in the show
mm-hmm.
later, but they did black and white footage of, oh, back in Solvang. And so that's the scene and the night that Sheena's talking about that.
Okay.
Because everyone's like, why are the witches like outcasting Sheena or how all of a sudden, are they friends again? Well, Sheena kind of explains that. She's like, we had a great night together. Lala and Brittany were off filming a different scene. And they did shoot these girls, but they didn't air it. And it's like, again, okay, Katie looked wasted because her eyes were all watery like they were in the alley. So it's like, are you protecting Katie and Schwartz again? Because as we heard on Jeremiah's podcast, Schwartz is their favorite. And this is why it was never explained how he was in another resort. It was never explained when he passes out drunk or any of that. They protect him because they love him. He's their favorite. Their favorite. Their number one favorite is Schwartz. It's very clear.
That is so weird.
So I think this whole night that Sheena's saying was such a good scene and such a good night that they did film, but they didn't air it. Well, oh, Katie's crying about Schwartz and she's drunk and they're protecting him.
Crazy.
Yeah, I don't like it.
I don't like it either.
Because it gives some backstory to like, oh, I'm sorry, editors. This 30-second black and white footage doesn't give us enough. You know what? If Katie had like, if you let some of this like more footage shown, maybe, you know, Andy had a poll. Whose side are you on, Schwartz or Katie? It was a landslide. Schwartz. You know what? Like, you know, I'm not saying you're a Katie fan. I'm not saying you're a Schwartz fan. But I think a lot of the Katie's resentment comes from these things, these points she makes. And I think she makes valid points. For yeah. sure, because he is like a gnat. He's like, he's not listening to her. He's not paying attention to her.
No.
And you could see it. You could see it on her face. And it's horrifying. And we've all been there. And it's just like, it's so belittling. And you feel like a piece of shit. And like, my own husband doesn't pay attention to me. If they had shown this scene, I think people could empathize with Katie a little bit more.
Yeah.
And I don't think Schwartz means any harm. He's just a little fucking gnat fly with like ADD, like, and she's just like, when are we going to settle down? When are we going to be us again? I don't know. So, you know, we all say what we say about Katie, but come on, we're chicks in relationships. We get it. I get it.
I don't know if I can go that far. I can't go that far. Yeah. But I get what you're saying. I get your point.
He's finally working.
Yes.
And he was never working. So at least, okay, come on, Katie. You can't have it both ways. You can't have him not working and paying attention to you. And you can't have him working. And then, you know, I don't know. I'm trying to speak hypothetically.
Yeah, no.
As a regular chick.
No, I get it.
So anyways, so that's why when you said, how did we get there? That was that. Anyways, so they go to the scene. Tom picks up Tom. He spends $18,000 on the cycling sidecar, surprises him. He's like, dude, the Uber's out here. And yeah, I was worried about the stuff Schwartz was carrying. I'm like, where is that going to fit?
Yeah.
And then he's like, drop it. I'm like, oh. And I was like, who's gonna pick it up? And I'm like, oh wait, there's a camera crew and production crew. Yeah, they'll bring it.
Yeah, just drop it.
Forgot fourth wall.
Yeah.
So I mean, that was fun, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, you got me gloves. I love gloves. You got me goggles.
I love goggles. Did you notice that when they are walking into Tom, Brittany's like, Jax, you look so cute. And he's like, thanks. Like, Jax, you dick. Like, Jax has to be told that he looks cute.
Like, how about thanks? Like, well, you know me. If someone says, oh, you look so good, I'll be like, oh, no, I just got done working out, or I'll downplay it, or, oh my God, I love your shoes. Oh my God, I got them at Target. Oh my God, I got them at Payless. Oh my God, I love your dress. Oh, Amazon. You know what I mean? Like, we downplay shit. Mm-hmm. Like, can you imagine just like, oh my God, you look so beautiful. Thanks. It's so like against my nature. It's like sandpaper. It's like, but he's fine with it.
Yeah, it's not against Jax's nature at all.
Holly, you look amazing tonight.
Thank you.
Okay, Jax. Yeah. Is that just like a girl thing, or is that like a Midwest thing? Minnesota peeps, come on. We've had this discussion before. We have to downplay everything.
I feel like everyone does that.
Yeah, that's what I said. I'm not just like singling out Midwest. I'm like, I think it's the way you were raised, in a humility thing.
Yeah,
it's not a regional thing.
I find myself doing it a lot though too, and I'm like, and when it's not necessary, it's embarrassing. Like someone,
no, yeah,
I was walking in with like a bunch of moms, and they're like, "Oh, I love her dress," talking about Ronnie, and same thing. I'm like, Amazon, you know, it's like,
right?
Come on, Holly.
Like, no, I got corrected. I was somewhere. I was visiting someone. They're like, "Oh, I love your boots." I'm like, oh. $22 at the Westminster. They're like, where'd you get them? I'm like,
little brown baby shoes.
And then someone actually called me out, and they're like, you know, you don't need to say that. And it was a random stranger. And I was like, oh, God damn it. I'm doing that thing again. You know, like, I need to downplay it. She's like, stop downplaying it. Just say thank you. But I'm like, I feel like greedy or cocky or arrogant. Be like, thanks. Thank you.
I also
I feel like I need
I
to,
also
like,
have been working on, like, when I'm at Target or something and someone's in my way, saying I'm sorry and then moving out of the way when if I really didn't do anything, like always saying like sorry. It's like, no, just move your effing cart. I don't need to say sorry.
You don't want to go to Target with me. My mom was so embarrassed because I hate butchers. I like order, and like we were at Target, and you know what? You know how they have the double line, the double cashiers? It's like, hey, whoever's card is first should go to the second double line.
Right.
But people skirt around you to go to that second. And I'm like, I'm like, I can't have it. It's not respectful. It's dishonorable. And so, like, that happened to me and my mom. And I was like, no. But I do it passive aggressively. I was like, well, we were in line, and I'm talking loudly to my mother. Well, it's funny. I believe in order. And my mom's like, just calm down. It's fine. Just don't say anything. I'm like, well, do we have order in this world or not? Are there lines? Were we in line first? Yes, we were. And I'm speaking loudly. And she's like, just stop, please, please. It's embarrassing. I'm like, well, I don't know. There's a line. We were in it. And you can't just skirt around a bunch of people. And then the person in front of me was like, oh, I'm sorry. Did you want to go first? I'm like, oh, no, go ahead. I mean, we were first, but go ahead. Your stuff's already on the conveyor belt, so go ahead. But, you know, we were in line. My mom was like shrinking in her, like, you know, her own body. She was like, but I'm like, I'm just tired of it. I'm like, don't budge and like pretend like, oh, I didn't know. Like, you know, you were behind us. You skirted around us. Come on. My stuff was not on the first conveyor belt. It's not like I was like, oh, let me take my stuff off. We were
a
cart.
Wait, so you think that the second line funnels into the front register?
Well, there's a line and there's two registers, you know, vertically. Whatever.
Those are two separate lines.
No, because there's no room for your cart and the condiment stand, whatever, you know, with the gum and the shit. You can't fit two carts between the conveyor belt and the gum display. So whoever's next funnels to the first one.
That's not how it works.
That is how it works.
No.
It's called a line.
You go around and you get in.
They would have had to push their cart into my ass to get around me. There would have been bodily damage.
Do you guys know what she's talking about? Let us know what you think. Weigh in.
I am really upset about this.
It's just not how it works.
It is how it works.
It's not. otherwise, like, why does that person even have a light on that they're open?
Right. But when you're like three carts deep, so the first person
so then you wait and you don't load your shit onto the conveyor belt until you
no, because
you're like,
you're
which
already,
one am I going
like,
to?
Yes.
No.
Exactly.
No,
because you're three carts deep. And so then you don't unload your shit until you know which light's going to go. And you're like, oh, and if the next one's going to go, then you go. Okay. It's really hard to explain without a diagram and a visual. We really need to make this like a visual podcast sometimes at Target Live. Let's just say someone in the first one, like the one closest to the door, has like a monster cart. And then you're at the second one, and then there's like three carts behind you. Well, I think put your shit on the conveyor belt. Once it's on the belt, you're committed.
Right.
And you might get screwed.
Yeah.
But it's a gamble.
Yeah.
You gotta weigh your choices. You're either going to push forward to the first one.
Uh-huh.
Or you're going to gamble and put your shit on the conveyor belt. If you haven't put your shit on the conveyor belt and you got this monster truck ahead of you with like unloading all their shit, okay, who's going to go first? The monster cart or the two with the separation things on the conveyor belt? Who's going to be faster? Well, I think while both are checking out, it's your call. The first cart in line, it's your call. Do I want to go to the first one? or do I want to wait for this one?
But that's like such a perfect scenario that there would only be one person that, you're wrong on this one, dude. I'm telling you, you really, that's just, it's just not how the store works.
Maybe that's why my mom was uncomfortable.
Oh my God. That, or I literally cut in front of every single person every time.
But do you understand what I'm saying? You have to like,
I've never stood in the second row of lines and been like, gosh, I don't want anyone to like go and arrange. Like it just
that. But why wouldn't they push ahead too then? Why aren't they doing it?
Exactly. Because that's not how it works.
I think we need to do like a live reenactment.
Because I think everyone knows what they know what you're talking about. It doesn't need, it does not need a diagram.
I'm just saying, like, if you have your cart, you would have to push past me.
And then the cashier that you're talking about at the one closest to the door leaving would be like, next. That's not their job to say next. They're just open. Like, you go around, do it. They don't call from that line.
So you're going to go along. Yes. Around all the registers. Yes. And like you're, yes, gonna do like an S curve.
Yes,
that's weird.
I go to Target 3 times a day, and
actually, I want to go there and I want to see it in action.
Okay, let's do it.
Yeah, because okay, I'm all about order, but okay, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I want to make sure we're talking about the same thing.
I don't know what I don't know what I would do if you were like, I was in line. I'd be like, yeah, you're in line at that register. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Well, I did call the person out because I'm just like angry. I'm like, I hate budgers and like people trying to skid around the system. It's like, we're all here. We're all from the same place. We're all doing the same thing. Like, I don't know. I feel like they're trying to skirt the system.
Yeah.
So that bothered me.
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay, I'm going to come. We're going to meet at Target and we're going to discuss this.
Oh my God. I mean, I never knew people like thought like that. So like, I'm horrified right now that I possibly,
you should be.
But I don't think I'm wrong.
You know what? I think this is fantastic Patreon content because who would not want to pay to hear Holly and I argue about Target lines?
And who is like enjoying the podcast right now, hearing us do it now?
Okay. Anyways, back to okay. Tom surprises Tom. Kristen thinks she's now besties with LVP. She's like, I think, you know, I'm in. We're gonna be. Okay. I'm gonna be at lunch at Villa Rosa very soon.
If the producers thought that this was the comedy relief that we needed on this episode, it didn't. Like, I felt like they thought that they were in on a joke with us. Like, we all want Kristen so badly back on the show, and we want LVP to like her. And like, this is like I feel like the Kristen LVP storyline, they think that's what we want. They think that we want LVP to acknowledge,
finally accept
Kristen, and say like she's a fan favorite. Like. They
and
want
like a reunion.
And we don't. I actually enjoy like when yes. Lisa shit talks Kristen. I want Kristen going crazy, but I don't care about this little like them her fake little dialogue with
right.
Lisa and talking about her. It's stupid.
Yeah. Exactly. And that whole scene last week was stupid.
Stupid.
So the opening, did you see here's what's funny to me, you guys. We've talked about this in previous podcasts. You know, when we delved into the side characters and who is Brad by Brad? For those of you that haven't listened to all of our podcasts or follow us on social media, you know, we're always interested in the side characters that are in every shot.
It's important to the whole of like the, it's important to know all the side characters to bring together the whole picture of the show.
So we've noticed for several years there have been certain characters that always happen to be in the shot of everything. And we've actually had people confirm that, like, oh, yeah, they actually always make sure they're in the shot. So I kind of had to laugh when I was watching the TomTom opening and the motorcycle pull up. Guess who's bright, like front and center, right in prime camera shot? Brad by Brad.
Yeah.
I know he's your friend.
Yeah, he is your friends.
Yeah. No shade on Brad, but like we've been calling out this Brad guy for like several years. We researched him. You guys researched him. And then we all met him, and Holly and him really hit it off. But yeah, Brad was a fan. Janet, Elizabeth, Sheena's sidekick on her Shenanigans podcast, also a fan. They're all like best friends with their fans. Cool. Love it. Actually like both of them. They both seem like very good friends, protective friends, good friends to the cast. Love it. You hit it off with him. I didn't get to talk to him too much, but I did laugh because it was brought to my attention at some point. Oh yeah, he will never miss a shot. And if you look back for years and years in episodes and also IG stories and posts, who you're going to see in every shot with like Tom or Ariana or Sheena or Jax or Brett, it's Brad. He's going to be right there.
Mm-hmm.
And he is legit friends with everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying everyone, including James. He is friends with James.
Yeah.
So anyways, I just laughed because I'm like, oh, front row.
I just wonder if I just wonder if Lisa ever questions why he is there. Like everyone has talked about her being strict on guest lists of, you know, when openings are happening or things like that. But he is always there. Just like,
did you see who else was there in the background?
I saw Billy. I saw Logan. I saw both Logans.
Well, Logan Getlow, our waiter, was featured heavily.
Prominently featured, yeah.
Interesting. It's not like he's best friends with Sandoval and Ariana. Oh, interesting. Oh, wait, you know the editors? Oh, they're our friends too. Oh, funny how he was featured very heavily. No preference there, right?
No.
Producers, editors. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Logan Noe popping his head up like Pee Wee Herman. I'm sorry, he still reminds me of Pee Wee Herman. Do you not see that?
I see it.
Okay. So yeah, he was there, which I found interesting because, you know, he is BFFs with Lala, but I wonder if that played into the James thing too. Like James wasn't going to go. Like, well, Logan was going, so
yeah,
that was probably a factor.
I wonder if that hurt a little to see that.
And maybe that was a factor of him not going too, because he clearly turned on him.
Maybe.
And maybe that would have been a fight. And James knew it was going to be a fight. So he's like, oh, I better not.
Yeah.
Guess who else was there? I know this is probably going to surprise you and shock you.
Billy Lee.
Mm-mm.
Nick Elaine's wife.
Kyle Chan.
Oh, I saw that too.
He made the cut. You know, I remember, well, weren't we talking to Jeremy when he was here and like he couldn't have a plus one, but you know, funny, Logan Noe made it and Kyle Chan and Brad by Brad, but could Jeremy, I don't know, your fucking roommate, your brother-in-law, can't bring a plus one? I think he ended up, well, I didn't see him in any shots though, but I do remember it being a thing.
I don't know. I just, if I, like, being in, like, Jeremy's position or someone who is getting shit for bringing a plus one, I just wonder, like, what are they doing wrong? Because obviously there is a way to, like, Brad by Brad is doing something right. He's right. Always there. So whose ass do you have to kiss to make it right? Someone's ass isn't being kissed by Jeremy or anyone who's,
editors, Paul. And producers.
Yeah.
Yeah, Paul.
Yeah, Paul.
Hmm. Okay, so someone asked you guys on the Facebook group. By the way, guys.
Oops, sorry.
Join our private Facebook group for all the details, and there's so much juice. I mean, you know, if you want to go cruise by Tom and Ariana's house, you can find the address in our Facebook group. Thank you, Heather. And soon to be Jackson Brittany's and whoever else. Apparently everyone's moving to Valley Village. We will be doing our own surveillance, but you know, whatever. Someone asked, is this the same long, Kimmy asked, is this the same long table that we sat at after our premiere party? Yes. That's where the cast, that's when Lisa said, whatever, you have a table, you can invite who you want.
Yes.
And obviously, like we said last week, that table is big, but not big enough to invite all of these people. And sure enough, there was spillover and Sheena took one for the team. She took a bullet for the team and sat at the kids' table off to the side.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know what? Like, okay, fine. She just did it because she's that kind of person. But really, it should have been like Kristen and Carter. Because why is Kristen sitting at her ex-boyfriend and Ariana's table, which she tried to destroy their lives for several seasons? Why is Sheena sitting at the kids' table? Like, I mean, I know Sheena volunteered. Good for her. But like, Kristen's at the main table. Don't get me wrong. Love me some Kristen. I'm just saying it's kind of weird.
It made no sense and it was stupid and confusing to me.
Yeah.
Like what she said was stupid. And then whatever gesture that she made, like I just wrote off as being like ridiculous because what she said was so dumb. And then it just didn't, like, logistically, it looked like they could have just squeezed some more people in.
I mean, she is an OG. She should have been at that table. And so for her to sit there, and then they showed later, you know who that table was filled up with. So for it was her and Adam. And then later, guess who was there? Brad by Brad, Jesse, Billy Lee. It was all the side characters. I'm like, Sheena, you're not a side character. Sit at the main table.
Yeah, it was really weird.
You know what I mean? Like, why are you cutting yourself out of this shot and this airtime?
Yeah, really bizarre. Sheena's behavior this season has been just so, like I have so many questions about what she's doing. She's never looked better. She looks great. Everything. Yeah,
everyone commented.
Everything should be like working for her, but she is, it's like there's a major like missing link going on. I don't know what's, like, it's just not connecting. And I don't know if that's from editing or, I have a feeling it's from editing. Like, they're just not giving her a great edit, and they're not making any sense of anything that she's doing, and it's...
I mean, I think she's trying, but they're just like, well, this doesn't relate to the story, or this doesn't relate to the cast, or this doesn't relate to the restaurant, so, you know, I mean, I kind of get it. I mean, she's trying, but like she said, her favorite scene that... It sounded like it was a fantastic slumber party with her and the Witches of WeHo.
Yeah.
I would have liked to have seen that. I don't need to see some of these stupid Lisa scenes or blah, blah, blah. Like all these other boring scenes we've seen. I don't need to see that. I would have liked the Sheena with the Witches of WeHo scene when they were drinking and playing Truth or Dare and confiding in each other and, you know, like talking and bonding. Show us that. And then they did that, you know, like we said last week, you know, when they did flashbacks, like Britney on the beach talking about something. It's like, why are you not showing us this shit? You're showing us bullshit scenes we don't care about.
Yeah.
Again, sorry, Jeremiah. It's just time for a change up. You guys are just too protective.
Yes.
So, speaking of being protective, Brittany, after getting strict instructions of not eating anything spicy, or which I would lean, you shouldn't eat anything spicy in an ulcer. I haven't had one, but I've had friends that have had ulcers, and from alcohol and not alcohol. There are people that have ulcers that are not alcohol induced. But just like, oh, I can't have any of those sugary drinks, but maybe a chilled, just a straight tequila won't hurt. It's like, okay, first of all, tequila's spicy and it's alcohol. Like, if you're actually going to do, like, I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I'm talking out of my ass. But tequila seems like it would be
like
really...
Just, yeah, just like rip through your stomach. Yeah.
Like, maybe... Bailey's? Try a Bailey's. That seems creamy and calming.
Yeah, I don't know. You okay there? Yeah, turn my mic off for a sec. You're all good. Okay, yeah. So I don't know. I was deeply disturbed when Brittany had to order a chilled tequila shot as well. And you could see the looks on everyone's faces that they are just like, ooh, like, is this actually a problem?
Yeah. And, you know, like we said, like, oh, okay, maybe just start your medication after you get back from Mexico. But it seemed like the doctor was like, no, you need to do it now. It's life-threatening.
I just don't, I personally don't know what it's like to constantly have to drink. Like, it's really, it actually scares me to see when people do that. It's like, can't you just go, like, it's actually okay to go out and just have an iced tea, have a Diet Coke, have whatever, something else. Like, you're going to be fine.
Well, the thing is, okay, when I drink, I like to excessively drink. But I do it one night. Everyone, you know, the next day, hungover. Oh, hair of the dog. It's never worked for me in my entire life. Trust me, I've tried. It doesn't work for me. I can't. So do I overdrink on the nights I drink? Sure. But I don't drink that often. Brittany, sorry, is a huge pot smoker. Why don't you just smoke pot? He didn't say anything about that with the ulcer, and you know, it's healing, I've heard. So she could still like have a good time and, you know, whatever, smoke out. I don't know. Is it a different thing? I don't know.
I don't know either. Sorry. I don't know. And now I have written in my notes, poor Kristen tried to compliment Lisa. Did Lisa come up to the table or something? Something happened here.
I don't remember that part. Obviously, it wasn't noteworthy because I got nothing on that.
Huh.
But I do have, you know, one LVP. Well, you know, they're talking about going to Mexico. Carter can't go. Kristen gets her own room. Oh, okay. Well, we're still at the thing. And we want to talk about Lisa and Lala and Sheena.
Yeah.
What'd you think about this?
I was horrified.
Were you horrified that Sheena didn't have Lala's back? Or were you horrified that Lala lied to Lisa? Were you horrified? Like, thoughts.
I don't know what I would have done in Sheena's position. I don't think I would have, I wouldn't have lied for her at all. And I probably, I don't know. I don't know. I would have been absolutely dumbfounded that she was lying and playing dumb. I don't know if I could have like fully thrown her under the bus, but.
And I don't think she did. Like,
no, she was careful, but.
Yeah.
The way she said it was like, I could see why Lala was like, come on. Like, she was like a little kiss-assy doing it, you know, even though she didn't say anything that was that bad, but it was just like, teacher's pet. Nah, nah, nah. It was just like, ugh, gag-worthy.
And she is, and 100%.
And how stupid Lisa's like, well, you're my best, most prized server.
Oh, no, she legit said, you're the most professional server or waitress I've ever worked with in my life. Like, she gave her this crown of like, no, she said in her life.
And in that moment, how we were just talking about, like, do you take a compliment? Like, she's like, thanks. Did you hear?
Yes.
Like, she wasn't like, oh, Lisa, that is so kind.
I mean, again, I am not trying to blow smoke up Sheena's ass or kiss her ass, even though she's the most receptive to my social media. I will flat out admit that. However, my experience is that, sir, and also watching the TV show, she legit does actually take her job seriously. And not only does she actually, like, care about, like, you know, timely food or drinks, she's the one taking pictures with everyone without like an annoyance or without an eye roll or without, yeah, yeah, yeah. Or Jax that's like, no, like So in that regard, I appreciate Lisa's statement because she really is the most approachable and professional when it regard, you know, she's like a Disneyland character. She is Cinderella that is like, yes, I will take pictures with everyone and I will make sure everyone has a happy experience at Disneyland. So I appreciate her for that. And so for Lisa, I will agree. Based on your other staff, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. You've had 30 restaurants.
That's kind of rude to her own son.
Right. Well, honestly, though, Sheena is more friendly than Max.
I guess.
He's a little intimidating. Because he's just doing his job.
Yeah.
She's just a little more approachable. I don't know if 30 restaurants, most professional waitress ever. Oh, cool. That's a great compliment. So, yeah, thanks. But, yeah, I get your point. But I will say out of the entire cast, I would have to agree.
I want to disagree, but I also cannot disagree because you're right. And who we have had as servers, yes, she is good.
She's the most attentive. We didn't have her as a server at Sir, but we did at Villa Blanca. And she was still attentive to us, even though
we were her only table.
Yeah, but she was sidetracked by Gigi Hadid and Cody Simpson and blah, 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 and she was still attending to us.
Yeah.
And she was already a star.
Yeah.
And she was waiting on us.
Yeah.
Like waiting. Like, how is the salad? How is the drink? Do you want another one?
Yeah, yeah. It's true.
Way better service from her at Villa Blanca than I've ever had as her.
I don't know. I don't know if I would say that about Katie O'Malley. Her service was really good.
Should we repost that episode? Can you tell me what's in this drink? It's like what it says here on the menu.
Well, to be fair, you were giving her very hard questions.
Is it fresh juice or is it frickin' schnapps or
Kipper?
I don't know.
You're all, can I have a chocolate martini? She's like, no. Mm-mm. Nope, we don't make those. What'd you ask for? What was it again?
Yeah.
And she's like, we do have an espresso martini.
It says here, right? So on the menu, I'm like, well, yeah. No, but this is already past the other one.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
Is it sweet and sour or is it fresh? I don't know. That's fine. You don't have to know. Just go ask.
Yeah.
That's cool. I know. I'm a high maintenance bitch. All right. Well, like, okay. Holly and I just got back from my birthday with Julia, who's passed out by the... And I'm like, let's go somewhere cheap. Okay, you guys, like, I'm really, like, budgeting right now. And for the first time in, like, really since my 20s, I went to Coinstar. Because I'm like, you know what? It's time. I have this water jug full of coins. I'm like, it was Julia's birthday. There's, you know, something I wanted to do for Holly. I'm like, I want to, because no, none of these bitches will ever let me like buy anything. They're like, no, especially this is my birthday. They're like, no, it's your birthday. But we're all trying to be like responsible right now. So I'm like, if I use coins, Coinstars, no one can complain because that's like free money, right?
Right.
So I go to, you guys, I went to Coinstar today for the first time in like 20 years. And I broke the machine 3 times. I had to keep calling managers at Albertsons. And I'm like, it's just, please call a manager. So I had to like leave my coins.
Oh.
And my bag was like 300 pounds. So I was literally dragging like a kettlebell or something of coins. And I'm like, it kept breaking because, I mean, there'd be salt packets in there. There'd be jewelry. There'd be keys. There's like a shit ton of foreign coins. I'm like, all right. But, or there'd be like 6 coins, like with gum or something. Like, I don't even chew gum. I don't even know how it got gum together. But like, I kept jamming the machine.
Oh my God.
Because I had that many coins. You guys, I got like $300. So I'm like,
that's amazing.
Drinks on me. And everyone's like, no, it's your birthday. I'm like, no, I did this because I knew you guys would say that. And we're all trying to be responsible. I'm like, You can't say no to free money. And a coin jar is free money, right? So it was fun. But anyway, so we go to this place. I'm also trying to be responsible. I'm like, oh, okay. So it's farmer's market night and there's all sorts of specials. And I'm like, okay, Julia likes vodka rebels. Okay, $7 farmer's market special. And then there's like $7 martinis. I'm like, cool. I want martinis on my birthday. But, you know, I'm not like the dry olive. Like, I need something sweet in there. I prefer it to be some kind of fresh juice. Anyways, the guy goes, yep, we've got $7 watermelon martinis. I'm like, oh, well, that's my favorite flavor for sure. And I'm kind of thinking in my head, like, usually where I go would be like fresh watermelon juice.
Right.
And I'm like, bitch, you're not getting that for $7. No, it was like the whole DeKipper sweet and sour schnapps water. I couldn't drink it. It was like I was drinking cough syrup. I'm like, oh my God. So I ordered them because I'm like, it's $7. And then I'm like, can I get a side of soda water? And then I'd like pour half and just dilute the shit out of it. Cause it was like, not keto. Don't even care about that because fuck it. It's my birthday.
It's your birthday.
Also, by the way, I always make sure, and you guys should always make sure, always blow out every single candle and do it your age because it's a free wish. It's like 11-11. It's like a shooting star. It's like eating a green M&M. Make sure to get every wish you possibly can. And so I do this every year. And sometimes I don't like cake, but I'll get like a tiramisu and put all the candles in there. But most of the time I usually get like a loaf of bread. So that's what I did today. I just got a loaf of bread, stuck all my candles in there so I could get my free wish. And then Julia was like, well, what'd you wish for? And she like guessed. She's like, oh, you probably wish for this. I'm like, no. I go, my theory right now is at my age, it's going to take a good like 20 seconds to blow out all the candles. So my theory of like when you throw a penny in a water fountain, you get a wish. Well, like sometimes like you don't have pennies. You have a nickel. So I'm like, do I get 5 wishes then?
Yeah.
So if I throw a nickel, you know, let's say we're in Vegas in the water fountain, mm-hmm. I get 5 wishes. So all the candles I have, I feel like I can wish. Like when it's 11:11, I wish the entire minute and I will wish like many, many things. So I'm like, okay, all the candles, and there's a lot of them, you guys. It's whatever. I'm like, the time it takes me to blow out all the candles, I can wish continually throughout that process. So hopefully I can cram in like at least 3 to 4 wishes. And not have to prioritize or decide on one wish.
Jesus Christ, this is deep.
Because I feel like if I'm blowing them out all at the same time, because there's a lot of candles, and I mean a lot, I feel like one wish, I'd be like, that's 1 second. It actually took me like probably 8 seconds mm-hmm. to blow out all those candles. You know, 80 is a lot. No.
I never have taken my wish this seriously. Like, I'm impressed.
Why would you rob yourself of a free wish?
Why? I don't know. I don't really wish. I
But you know, I've never bought a lottery ticket, so there we go. You probably have. Have you?
Of course.
Yeah, I haven't. So, there were even.
Why?
I don't know. I don't know how to do it.
Oh.
It confuses me.
Really?
Yeah. I don't understand. I don't know where to check. I don't know who wins, how to find out. I don't get it.
Mm. Yeah, so, I get that.
Yeah. I mean, my mom's a huge fan of the Reader's Digest like thing.
Yeah.
Like she's always saying, well, as soon as I win the Reader's Digest lottery or sweepstakes, I don't know. Ask her. Call her. Call her right now. Anyways, I'm just saying, maximize your moments of wishes. Maximize your chances to have a wish like a shooting star. Just saying.
I mean, I do that daily. I just manifest what I want. I don't call it a wish. I manifest the shit out of it.
Well, thank you, by the way, because it was a full supermoon last week and I had some shit going on that really needed to be wished upon. And I'm like, hey, I'm not taking any chances. I actually have some crystals around the house from cool places. And supermoon, I've heard you talk about it, Annabelle, obviously Spencer Pratt. I'm like, well, it doesn't cost me a dime to put my crystals out into the supermoon. And I got some really great, fantastic news. So they're all charged up. Julie came over. She's like, what's this about? There's all these crystals still out on my table outside. I'm like, I was charging the crystals for positive energy. She's like, huh? And I'm like, oh, by the way, because she left her crystal necklace. I'm like, I charged yours up too. She's like, oh, cool. Thank you. So, and then she was into it. But I'm just saying. And then I told Holly, and then we got really good news. And I told Holly, and she's like, I told you this shit works.
It, you guys, it really does.
Okay, but then, you know, can we like focus on some crystals?
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
I guess I should start doing that. I never ask for money. I always will work around that away. And it always works out in the end.
Remember my Romeo and Juliet story?
Yes.
You guys, I'll really make this quick because we got to get back to the episode. But I went to the, you guys, anyone that saw Letters to Juliet, that movie with Amanda Seyfried and whoever else was in it, where you stick a letter in the wall and, you know, write your wish. And so I was there. I was in Verona. I'm like, I'm going to do this. And it's actually not a thing. They have security there to make sure you don't do that. But I'm like, I'm going to do it. And I woke up at like 5 a.m. before I figured security was there. And I like was shoving my letter in there. And then sure enough, security came out. And they're like, what are you doing? What are you doing? We don't allow that. And I was like, huh? I was just taking a picture by the statue. Anyways, whole point is I got it done. And what got done was I put some things in there. And one was just like from a random friend, a roommate I had 20 years ago. And her daughter got accepted. And she was like autistic, but got accepted to this fantastic fine arts school where it was like a perfect fit. And it was, she was accepted, but they just didn't have the money. And I just put in there, like, you know, it wasn't about money. It was about like, oh, she can find a way, scholarship or something. And then other people had asked me, and of course, you know, we all wish love or health, happiness. And then someone else had said, make sure you put a letter in there for me to win the lottery. You know, and I didn't do that one because that was about money. And greed.
Right.
And I thought this should be about from the heart and something worth something. Well, I got news. So I'm in Italy. My friend is in Texas. I hadn't time change. Before I even told her, I actually put the thing in, just like wishing her daughter well to find a way to get to this college. She had messaged me. She's like, I know you said you were going to put that. She's like, when did you do that? Because I got a message this morning, and her dad, who had been an absentee dad for the entire 18 years of her life, just said, I found a way to help her. I'll send her to the school. I've got the down payment or whatever. And it's like, I hadn't even talked to the friend. She hadn't, like, there'd been no contact for 18 years. It was super, super random. I don't know. It was just really weird timing. She's like, when did you do this? I said, yesterday. She's like, I just got this at 6 a.m., this message from him. So, you know what? Shit does work. And it was a selfless, greediless, had nothing to do with me. It was like, I was like pulling shit out for, you know, I don't know. Sometimes when you're thinking about others, like, that shit works. So
it's true.
I'm trusting you with the crystal thing is what I'm saying. I don't know if I believe in it or don't believe in it, but it doesn't do me any harm in charging crystals I have in the moon because it's not going to hurt me. So might as well try.
Right? Yeah, it's all about like the energy and putting your, you know, power of your thoughts. It's
intentions.
It's real.
Okay. So Lala talking to Lisa, what did you think?
It was crazy to watch her like just boldface lie. I love watching people lie, and it's fascinating to me. And
how do you lie when you know it's on camera?
I don't know.
And so that's why I absolutely, like, as a friend, I can get Lala's perspective on Sheena, but Sheena's no dummy. She knows it was filmed. She's going to be caught on camera lying to Lisa if she has Lala's back. If it wasn't on film, sure, lie, have her back, whatever. Like, I would have your, but if it's on camera, Lisa is Sheena's employer. It's on.
And it's not even just camera. Like, it's on, like, oh, like it was filmed for the show. There's people that have posted in the group that show they were there that day. And, like, right. They literally caught that on their camera phones while they were paying for their brunch. So it was definitely a problem the way she acted. And, yeah, I don't know. I was just like, whoa.
How can you boldface lie and be like, she literally said, well, I felt like I acted very ladylike and very composed. And I was very calm. And I was like, what? Do you realize this is being filmed? And yes, like you said, not even by the camera crew, but by everyone else.
Yeah.
Like, that's, you know what? That's just, she has nothing to lose. She didn't want to be fired on the spot at that moment because she still wants the fame. She has the money. She has the money being married to Rand, but Vanderpump is giving her the fame. She wants both.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Even her being, even if she gets off Vanderpump and she's like an actress in Randall's movies, she's not going to sell the shit that she's selling on her own with Give Them Lala. Give Them Lala is Vanderpump Rules fans buying them.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone that doesn't watch Vanderpump, they're not buying that product.
No.
So I don't care if she's in a Gotti movie or a, you know, Al Pacino movie. No one's going to be like, like really, honestly, like if Kate Bosworth put out a lip liner, like how many people are actually going to go buy it?
I would.
Well, because you love Hawaii and the surf movie. But like, really, like right now, I wouldn't. So if Lala is just, because I say Kate Bosworth because she's in the movie right now with her. How many, I don't know. Well, I've never bought still Kylie's, but whatever. I'm just saying, like, who is she outside of the show?
Right.
And she may be someone. She may be a huge movie star, but her shit's not going to sell without this show. So she needs to toe the line. So she lies to LVP to buy some time. Sheena, smart. I don't think she really, like, she didn't throw her under the bus, but she's like, she basically more defended James, like, no. James held his own. He was calm. He was, because he did.
Mm-hmm.
And there's really two separate issues. Because Lala, the whole thing with Lala and James, that's not the issue.
Mm-mm.
The issue was Lala and Raquel and Lala Billy Lee. The issue was not James, Brittany, and Lala sitting down. That was fine.
Yeah.
So I don't feel like, Sheena told the truth. And it's not like she threw you under a bus. Lala was filmed.
Yes.
So this reunion should be interesting. So I don't know. It just grossed me out on her. She's like, I acted very ladylike. And then you see the preview next week, Ariana confronting her. She's like, I don't regret anything. I'm not sorry for anything. It's like,
yeah.
Really? You rip on Raquel. You don't empower women. And then you tell Billy Lee 30 seconds later, not only are you boring as a woman, you're boring to look at. Like, very empowering, Lala. Sorry, just completely. I got nothing. I got no love for Lala.
Yeah, it was not a good moment. And I'm having a hard time with Lala right now because she's just not giving me, like, you want to root for someone when they're like, you know, down in the dumps or hurting or lashing out like that. But she's just not really giving anyone anything to hold on to or anything to root for. It's like,
no,
ugh, I don't know.
So, I mean, we really have nothing there. Brittany's taking mini shots. Oh, okay. That's,
yeah. Everybody's celebrating. They're twirling Lisa around. They're doing the Lisa, you're so cute again, yeah. Which gag. I don't like that.
A little dismissive too. Oh, I love the one of my favorite scenes. The Toms like literally like have a shaker, like a silver shaker, right? And all they do is toss it to each other. Like that's not hard. That's not juggling. And like everyone's like, oh, ah, and like, and then they pan to Kyle Chan and they're like, oh, wow, look at these like crafty bar. It's like, did you guys not see Cocktail like 30 years ago? Like throwing one shaker. Like, it's like, Holly, if I threw you a ball and you threw me a ball at the same time, you don't think we can catch it?
Yeah.
Like, come on. Like, let's throw. You probably didn't see Cocktail, right?
With no.
Tom Cruise. It's a fucking amazing movie. But that's when, like, bartenders were doing crazy shit. They're throwing shit up in the air, catching it behind their back. Well, actually, you would love it because it's baton.
Baton trolling-ish?
It's completely baton. Everything they're doing, you did with baton, they're doing with drinks. Fucking impressive. Cocktail, Elizabeth Shue. Her brother's Andrew Shue from Melrose Place, Billy. Anyways, Tom Cruise, fantastic movie. What they do with their cocktails. And so they're trying to like recreate that. Like, oh, and all they do is throw a shaker to each other. And everyone's like, ooh.
I didn't even see that part. I'm going to watch that again.
No, it's so funny because literally people ooh and ah. I'm like, you threw one object well, the other person threw, like, I could do that with Layton right now, and she's 2 years old. Like, literally, we do that right now. Sorry. Just thought it was funny.
That's hilarious.
And then, yeah, Lisa's sidecar, blah, blah, blah. Like, who cares? Boring.
Okay, so let's move on to Stassi's apartment, where Bo comes out in his T-Rex costume.
Yeah, I really don't have much to say.
Me neither.
Don't really care.
Brittany and Jax talking about their stupid flowers, wildflowers. Jax is just like beside himself that he has to pay for something.
You go pick those.
I mean, they're weeds.
I mean, you know, I love that he freaks out at the word clusters. And like, so now that he has this house, and I asked, like, you know who on Facebook group. I'm like, do you have the address yet? Because I want to like send a housewarming gift of like a big box of like pecan clusters. But you know why he hates the word clusters? Because he's had a cluster of something.
Really?
A cluster of warts, a cluster of herpes. That's, he hates that word because it's STD related.
Okay.
That's why he hates it. Because he's been there and it's bad memories. Why do you hate the word cluster? Unless it's like, eh.
Yeah.
See, you don't hate it because you don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I know. I'm just like, I know Jack's adjacent and I know his like thought process. So I'm like, why does he hate the word cluster? I don't understand why he hates the word slacks or pants, but clusters, I've seen enough health videos. Health class. I get it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I want to send them some pecan clusters just to F with them. Much like I would like to do at the certain venue we may frequent and leave. You know what? Not a picture, but you know what I would love to leave?
What?
Like a nice canvas. You know how like every, like Stassi and Ariana make fun of Kristen for loving a Home Goods quote.
Mm-hmm.
Like, have faith.
Yes.
When in doubt, have faith. Like a nice Home Goods canvas. Wouldn't that be fantastic in like a hotel room?
Yes. It would.
Anyways, you guys. So, anyways. Yeah, Wildflowers, you know, do you know that song, Eric Church?
No.
Okay. Well, freaking Holly, of course she doesn't. She went to school with Brett Young and she doesn't even know. Still want to get him on the podcast, but I'm not going to push it. Okay. You know, he's coming. He's playing.
Yeah.
Locally. Okay. Still not going to throw your name out. All right. So Sandoval is bringing scuba things, his scuba knife. Of course, he's got to have his knife moment.
His underwater knife.
Yeah, as he's going to, like, kill a sunfish or something.
Yeah.
And she's like, really? You need two belts?
Dude, those are just my red belts.
Yeah. Ugh.
I did appreciate him asking if she had water shoes, because I'm a water shoe girl.
Yeah, I love a good water shoe also.
Do you? Because you were raised on the beach and, like, a surf queen. Like, because I thought it's, like, for me, like, the skittish type. I'm like,
I don't do water shoes in the ocean, but I definitely water shoe it at the lake because that's disgusting.
We're so opposite. Ugh. I don't water shoe in the lake because I'm really comfortable in the lake, but I water shoe in the ocean because that shit's scary as fuck.
But there's, like, mossy shit in the lake.
But that's just, like, moss and grass. It's grass underwater.
Yuck.
Underwater, under sand, are lurking killer machines like stingrays and jellyfish. You don't get that in lakes.
Yeah.
Hey, Midwesterners, are you with me? Like, no, granted, I water ski. I don't want to land in the swampy part or the seaweed that's growing up taller than the water. Yeah, it freaks me out because, like, shit's lurking around there. However, I hate it. It grosses me out. It freaks me out. However, I know nothing's going to kill me.
A little bacteria could.
You know, I grew up on lakes my whole life, and I never once heard of anyone getting any kind of bacteria. Ever.
Well, the death statistics say otherwise.
Did you throw your avocados out this week? Do you even know about that?
No.
See? I'm educating you right now. All the avocados. I gave one. Did you see my video?
You could have killed a squirrel.
No. I gave it to the squirrel because they know. First of all, they're adverse to what we are susceptible to. But also, they know. They sense shit. But did you see the video?
It was cute.
Oh my God, you guys. I'm going to post this on Facebook. This shit could go viral. Because, no, I didn't know he was going to do that. You saw him fall over?
No. I just saw it. Like, it was just so cute how he just was eating it.
No. You have to watch the whole thing. He face plants the entire avocado into his face. And he gets so, like, disoriented. Because he's... Oh, God, I hope it's not the bacteria. He face plants. He falls over backwards. Okay, I saved it. Thank you. Say thank you, Sarah. He falls over backwards.
I hate Snapchat. This is why I hate fucking Snapchat.
Yeah, but I saved it.
It's horrible. You send me good videos all the time, and I'm like, I want to see it again, and it just disappears. It's so dumb.
You can replay it once, and if you fuck it up, you can't replay it.
I don't like it.
No, I hate it, too. I hate it. This is why I have 4 Snapchat friends. So when I send you shit, I'm only sending it to you, Finn, Amanda, Michaela. That's it.
Yeah, I can't. I can't do it.
No, you guys, I gotta post this video. I didn't even know this was gonna happen. I just thought it was cute. He was eating. He was face planting this avocado, and then he was so, like, blinded by it. The squirrel fell over backwards and kind of, like, it was like he was drunk off avocado. It was so amazing. And I'm like, it wasn't planned. It was crazy. All right. Whatever. I don't know how we got on that topic. But hey, since we're talking about avocado.
How does that lead into that? That was awful. Since we're talking about avocado.
I love the way avocado smells because it basically smells like nothing. But I actually, you know, I am very specific. I don't like a lot of overpowering smells. So a lot of times I don't wear perfume. However, I got the opportunity to sample different perfumes in a nice size through Scentbird. And I actually enjoy it. And honestly, tonight I used it and I sprayed it myself.
Yay. For your birthday.
Yeah, I did. And I'm like, it's lasted for a while. And like, I got a few, but I have my favorite and I'm like, I'm going to save it for like this or that. But today's my birthday. So I sprayed it on and I'm like, yeah, okay. It's my birthday. So anyways, what's really nice, it's already in my purse. It doesn't leak because it's like a seal proof container. But it's a nice size. So it lasts for me, it lasts a really long time. If you spray it 4 times a day for a month, then you're good. But I spray like, you know, a couple times a week. This is going to last me 6 months, but I also have a couple others. Anyways, there's all sorts of different, you know, designer brands and things like that. You can put in, do I want citrus? Do I want floral? Do I want musky? Do I want vanilla? You know, I got a little medley and I really like it and I'm happy with it. I've already gifted it because the deal is so good. It's $7.50 for your first month, which is 50% off. And I'll let Holly tell you the rest.
Yeah. This is definitely one of my favorite sponsors that we've ever had because I use mine every day, and I don't think I've ever used anything that I've bought from anyone every single day. So I think that really says a lot. There's something about the way it's packaged. I mean, it's luxury perfumes at a fraction of the cost without having to go to Sephora, wherever you go and buy your perfume, and trying to smell them and then sniffing the coffee bean to get the smell out of your nose. Pick what you like, try it out. It's really cool. So right now, like Sarah mentioned, it's 50% off your first month. So that's only $7.50 for your first fragrance. You guys check it out. Check out their website. Poke around. Look at all the fragrances they have. It's www.scentbird.com/VPR and use our promo code VPR. And again, you get 50% off for your first month. So, yeah, check it out. Scentbird.com/VPR.
50% off. I love it.
Me too.
All right.
Okay, so let's wrap it up here. I'm losing my gusto. But this is when the episode picks up, so I should gain it back.
I love when they are going... first, Stassi is talking to... You mentioned monsters. Stassi's talking about, and he's like, what if you freak out again? She's like, we had an agreement. If I start to freak out, then I'll go down on you. Which clearly does not look like what's going to happen next episode. It doesn't look like she's calming him down by going down on him.
I thought she said that if she freaks out, he's supposed to go down on her.
I thought that too, but I rewound it and she said the opposite.
Really?
Okay. I'll triple watch and you guys tell me if we're wrong.
Yeah.
Because that would make sense. 100%. That would make more sense.
Well, actually, each would. It's either like put something in your mouth and shut up or get pleasured. I don't know. Okay. So...
Lala... Okay, so they're boarding the flight.
Yes.
And she's
we're at the airport.
I can't even remember the last time I flew commercial. Okay, you guys. If you don't follow me on social media, I know a lot of you guys don't follow any social media, by the way, at Pumpers Nation. And thank you. Well, I guess I should thank myself because I posted this in a group, but I ripped it off from another group, but I credited them. Lala was just on a flight last week with Randall and also Jackson Brittany. They were on a Southwest flight. Southwest doesn't have her first class. They were on a commercial airline And also, not just commercial, no first class. So it's just so gross anyways. Like, I don't even care if they weren't on that flight. By the way, you guys, people, there was passengers on the flight that were fans of whatever. They posted it in certain podcast groups and it's floated around. So those pictures are in our Facebook group, Vanderpump Rules Party Podcast Facebook group, or Pumpers Nation, Instagram, Twitter, whatever. A passenger took a picture, posted it to whatever their podcast or Facebook group was. It circulated around. It's them, and it's hilarious. So I don't even care. Like, who cares? No one cares. Like, we all know she's also flown coach and commercial to Utah several times whenever Rand can't get the PJ. But it's so gross to say something like that and not just like, I can't even remember. And then to be like, I don't even usually carry my bags, like not even my purse. Like, we have assistants that carry my passport. Like, A, I would never fucking allow that to happen because I'm too much of a control freak. But gross. Gross.
Yeah, I'm starting to like become desensitized to her always saying that she flies private, you know, so like to hear her say like, I don't remember the last time I flew commercial. That doesn't bother me. I'm starting to get used to it. But when she started saying that she usually doesn't even carry her bags and she has people to wipe her ass.
You're not Beyonce. You're not Kim K. And guess what? Do you ever hear Kim K or Beyonce post such shit?
Mm-mm.
You're just a fucking wannabe bragger, and it's so gross.
And I just,
people with money don't talk about their money. People
just think that she would want to have like a little bit more pride and earn some of that money herself, like really stand, like be like, you know what, give them Lala Cosmetics has afforded me this private plane.
Like she's Kylie, like she's a billionaire.
Right. Like, but like if she would word it that way, then maybe I could like get on board with like being like her being like so proud of her accomplishments. But it's all on the back of this dude. Yeah. And it just comes off as like, it's just gross. It's not like I'm jealous. I'm not jealous of her at all. And,
everyone else that doesn't talk about it did do it on their own. Beyonce, Kim K, the people that actually legit do it, and whatever. You can even say Kim Kardashian started on her back too. Whatever. You know what? That shit happens. That shit fades. She built whatever she built. You know, I'm not like a massive, I'm not even a fan of the Kardashians, but
hold on a second. You are defending Sheena and Kim Kardashian now.
I don't like that. The Kardashian thing. However, there's a lot of people that had sex tapes. And well, you know what? You don't see Pamela Anderson, who had one of the OG sex tapes. You don't see her being on the Forbes list of the most billionaire. And I'm not saying Kylie did, but Kylie did off the coattails of Kim, who built it on her back.
True.
And I don't think Kim built her empire on her back. Did she get her jump start? Whether it was her choice or not, that's always TBD.
Mm-hmm.
It was leaked or it was released. Who knows? A lot of people, like everyone, Paris, one night in Paris. Where is she? I mean, she's doing fine. I heard a rumor she might be a new housewife. Whatever, but she's not Kim K level. So everyone had sex tapes or they did something on their back, whatever. But then, like, okay, well, Kim K built an empire. And it's not just because she had a sex tape released.
I give all the credit to Kris Jenner.
Well, okay. Well, there you go. So maybe Lala's mom needs to step up her
seriously
game.
Yes.
I don't know. I just, if you're going to play the game of off your back, then I don't know. I don't even know what I'm saying. I don't even like what I'm saying. This is all gross, but I just,
No, I totally get what you're saying.
My whole point is, even whoever you're talking about that has, like, maybe a part of their success is due to, like, whatever man, like, you don't go around being like, I don't remember flying commercial, or I have assistance to carry my passport, not even my bags, not even my, you know, the big luggage, like your passport. Mm-hmm. Really? Is that smart?
Mm-mm.
Dumb fuck. Yeah, it's gross. It's desperate. She's an idiot.
Okay, so Sheena and Schwartz get upgraded to first class.
Okay, so I know we got to wrap this up. I am on. Okay, everyone's chimed in. You got to give it to the wife. Well, why? He didn't choose it. Whatever. They randomly selected him. I think it was. They were flying Delta. They clearly showed that. They fly that a lot. Hey, loyalty pays off. I'm sorry, Katie. Maybe you flew JetBlue. Okay. It's debatable. For me, I went through this with my sister. And we were checking in. Usually, you know, they'll upgrade your companion if availability is there. And I'm like, well, you know, even if it's not, like, just make sure I'm still on the list. Like, it's not all or nothing for us, just so you know. My sister was so mad. She's like, what? You would rather just me being coach and you being first class? I'm like, yeah, of course, 100%. I earned this. Like, you didn't earn this. I earned this. So, yes, you're my sister. Who cares? I fucking talk to you. I live with you. I work with you. I talk to you. I hang out with, like, yeah, we can afford some time apart. She's just mad that I said, if there's not space for both of us, still upgrade me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see a problem with it. She had a big problem with it. She thought I was a huge asshole. So then I asked my friend, I won't name them, married, long time, both of them are travelers. And I said, hey, what would you do if you were upgraded but your husband wasn't? Oh, 100% I'd take the upgrade. Asked him. Well, no, he actually probably wouldn't. But she's like, no, of course. She's like, come on, we're married. We live together. She's like, someone might as well take advantage. Like, why would we both have to suffer?
Right.
Like, why the fuck not?
Right.
What's the problem? And then he said on Watch What Happens Live that he offered to switch, but she was just too pissed off and wouldn't even entertain him. I don't know. I don't really see a problem with it, but I know social media does have, they do think he should have just stayed with his wife. Hmm. Here's the thing. If you're going on one trip a year or you're doing a couple's trip or a romantic trip, you're going to that Mexican vacation. You're going on a cruise. Yeah, of course. But if you travel all the time, like the cast is constantly going back to New York for, you know, this or press or wherever they're from. Like, when you travel a lot, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Would you leave Chad and coach?
I didn't think it was a big deal at all, especially if it was, like, honestly, like a random thing. It was hilarious watching the two of them up there and watching everyone else's face, like, as they walked past.
And I love how, like, everyone's like, Sheena doesn't eat. She's anorexic. And then, like, Schwartz is passed out, not eating because he's unwell, clearly. You know, I'm just saying, when you're doing certain things, you don't eat. But Sheena's there eating the full platter.
Yeah, that was funny.
You know, editors have trolled her this whole season, and maybe they thought that was a troll, but actually I think they did her a justice by showing her eating.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they meant it the other way, like, look, Sheena, she's just, like, taking advantage.
Right.
But really, yeah, she does eat.
Yeah.
I think it backfired. Anyways, but...
Yeah, I don't know. It was a weird scene for me.
So would you leave Chad?
Different
with children. Okay.
No. Oh no. Like, that's, yeah, that is different, but No, I don't think I would feel guilty. Would I be pissed if he got upgraded and I didn't? Probably. Would I rage text? Maybe.
Yeah.
In that way, like, I get Katie, but...
No, I get it.
I get, but like, it's like, what can you do about it? Like, are you really that mad? Like, your spouse just got something awesome. Like, chill out and let them enjoy it.
Well, and they said it was random, which it's not usually random, but unless it's oversold. It did look, people were like, oh, there are empty seats. If it's oversold, then yes, it's random. Usually it's priority of status and whatnot. And I don't know, but like, why should he have to trade places? Like, why are you better, Katie?
Than- well, I had a question about like security wise. Like, is that just cool to switch seats or?
Yeah. Well, in first class, generally, no. But you can't really do that.
So it could have been like a little problem.
Yeah.
Maybe he wasn't willing to risk that. He's a rule follower.
Oh, I'm a rule follower. I'm not willing to risk it.
Yeah.
Dude, this happened again. We were in Europe and it was actually, this one was bullshit. Me and Amanda and Kaya were flying and they upgraded me and Amanda, but not Kaya, even though she had status, not as high a status as me, but she had status. And it's like, well, we're all flying together, so why would you upgrade Amanda? Well, you booked your tickets together, but Kaya booked like a separate ticket. But like, but we're all together, and can you? And she has status, and they wouldn't. They're like, talk to the gate agent. So we talked to the gate agent. They're like, well, we have to see, get on the plane, and then we get on the plane. They still wouldn't do it, and there was empty seats.
Oh, that's annoying.
Yeah, it was, but. With that said, Kaya handled it like a champ. She's like, it's fine. I was fine. And like me and Amanda were like laying down in our day beds and,
aww.
You know, and like, and but she was like, it's fine. And I was like, see, Katie?
Yeah, that's how you do it, Katie.
I mean, that was actually fucked up. I was actually super pissed because there was open seats. And
yeah.
She's my companion and she has status. And like, I was, if they're all full, cool. There were open seats and I was like, and I said something and they're like, sorry, we can't change it once we've taken it. I was like, they told me to talk to the like, I don't know. I mean, yeah. Could I have argued it? I would have been arrested or something.
Yeah.
And then like, I'm just not a rule breaker, but whatever. It was annoying. So I love though that he said that she rage texted the entire flight.
Yeah.
And he's like, bubble. Bubble, bubble. And he's like, droop, droop,
droop. Once again, why didn't we get to see those text messages?
Right. Thank you.
Or her, you know, viciously typing. No one could have whipped out their phone and taken a little video or.
Well, they clearly had production because they kept taking the overshot pictures of everyone in their seats. It's clearly to show everyone that was in coach. Like they showed Stassi in a middle seat. Stassi, who only ever flies first class. You could see. The seat screen to her left. I don't know if it was an empty seat because she was sitting next to Beau. Maybe it was an empty seat, but she was in the middle seat.
Yeah.
Stassi doesn't roll that way.
She was on her laptop working away on her book.
You can't legitimately do that in a middle seat or really in any seat unless you're in first class. You don't have the space for it. The second someone reclines their seat, you're typing at an angle and you're like doing like digit typing, like one yeah, no. Anyways, that was the whole argument. And would you leave your spouse in first, you know, coach versus first class? And apparently it came out that he offered it to Katie, but she was too mad and she's like, fine, no, don't even talk to me. And that's when it's, she's like, I don't want to see you. And I want to talk to you. Just stay away from me. And then it was very apparent when they got to the resort. And he's like trying to make jokes. And she's like just walked away. Even when they loaded the van, everyone's like, woo, van, woo, Mexico. And like I screenshotted on this. Katie is just not having it. She's like frowning.
Yeah, no, she's pissed.
She's pissed.
Yeah. And at that point of a fight, you know, when you're fighting and you're at that level with each other,
yeah,
it's not going to end well, and it's just got to run its course. And so you could tell that Schwartz was, he was definitely tiptoeing around her, just hoping that,
yeah,
that it would defuse it. That it would possibly, you know, something would change, but she was not going to let that happen.
My favorite moment in this awkward van scene was just Kristen completely checked out, rocking herself up.
Yeah.
With AirPods in. She's just like, did, and she's holding her hand up to her ear like James Kennedy style, like she's a DJ. Like, do you ever do that when you're listening to music? Do you ever hold your hand up to your, like, ear pod?
No.
Or headphone?
No. I mean, the only thing that I'll do is like an imaginary microphone maybe, but
oh, I do that every night.
But I don't ever put my hand to my ear. Yeah,
like
I'll listen
to like The Voice or just, you know, favorite songs, and I like have the imaginary microphone. My neighbors think I'm fucking crazy, 100%, but I don't care because they see the back of my head, and I'm like, they don't see my air microphone. Yeah. But I'm not holding my hand to my headphone.
No, no.
And so she's doing it. Who does that? Maybe she's doing that for the cameras.
Yeah.
I was kind of, actually, I just realized that. I was kind of like enjoying the moment of her just tuning everyone out and rocking out by herself. But I think maybe she planned that scene, because why would you put your hand up there? Like, you're demanding some screen time. And, well, guess what? It worked. You got it.
Yeah.
But, like, no one puts their hand up to their headphone unless they're a fucking DJ.
That's right.
All right. She's missing James. Okay. So, I mean, I don't know. That's it. Like, Brittany is afraid of heights, walking against a wall, blah, blah, blah. The room said Mr. Schroeder, which was funny.
That was funny.
Stassi's all into it. He was totally fine with it.
Yeah.
Which is why we like Bo.
That was funny. Yeah, he laughed.
So they show everyone walking into their room, and it's all kind of like festive, fun, and then it's like, da-da-da.
Yeah, everyone's like super grateful, like, oh my gosh, like, you know, doing the, wow, this is so nice. Then we go into
Tom and Katie's,
and it's just like silent tension. Yeah, like you literally like hear their footsteps on the
floor. Well, I think the floor. Editing did it on purpose. Like, I don't know if there's background music for the others or if they were just like jovial, but it was like dead silent, and then they were just dead silent, and then they were just, oh, the tension was high, and we're not even in the room. That was crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy.
And she walks out to the hammock, and yeah.
She just, like, lays into it, and she, you know, Schwartz tries to, like, kind of, like, scoot around her, and she's just not having it. Like, she's ready to just fight.
Yeah.
And loud, and T. Sandy and Ariana are out on their patio and they can hear, and they're like laughing. Like, that's loud.
Or they're just like, damn, I'm so glad we don't have that dynamic.
Yeah.
I mean, and finally, to Schwartz's defense, he's getting loud too. Instead of just like, but he's finally saying, your tone, your constant negativity, your constant, now, I don't know this word. Cacophony?
Mm-hmm.
Do you?
No, I didn't.
Did you Google it?
Yeah, I did.
What does it mean?
I don't know. I forget what it said.
I mean, here's the thing. Like, Schwartz... oh, they were saying, like, how does... Did Schwartz mean IQ, not EQ? No, I believe Schwartz meant EQ because he did study psychology and he was trying to be a doctor. Like, that was his original plan, remember? He was going to go to med school. So I believe that we know love... I mean, fuck. We know Schwartz loves to drop some psychology terminology and bombs. He's done it before. He loves to use his college experience against the others, because most of them don't have that. So he studied, you know, some things, and he's retained some knowledge, and he loves to drop those bombs because no one will question him, because he's one of the few people that, you know, studied what he studied. Well, I think Stassi's the only other, Stassi and Sheena are the only other college graduates.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Ariana finished, and no one else did for sure. But it doesn't make you smarter. So I hate it when people like, well, I have a college degree, and then they just like, Katie is famous for just picking her word of the day and just like overusing it and word dropping it. Like, she got the Verbal Advantage tapes from 1995, and she just listens to them. And Jax does the same thing. They find a word, and they stick with it, and they drop it, drop it, drop it.
Definitely.
But what does cacophony mean? Because I actually don't know that one.
Oh, I don't know.
Okay. Well, we'll look into that. Okay. Well, wrap it up. I mean, that was... It was a fantastic scene. I mean, it was like your tone. She's like, well, you're a shit husband. Well, you've been a shitty wife for 7 years. I mean, it was a fantastic scene.
It was a great fight, and it felt very, very authentic. And
I actually felt both their sides.
Me too.
I felt for her. I thought she was legit. I can see her side. I can see him. He's that annoying gnat, and he's never paying attention to her. But at the same time, like, she's an egg.
And I liked that he called her a wet blanket. You know, it's like such an old school term.
And kind of like, hey, let's table this now. And like, we're on this trip. Let's have fun.
Nope.
Yeah. Nope. But I also kind of get her like, oh, really? It's that easy for you? Like, sometimes you just can't table it.
No. Yeah.
I get that, especially for filming. He's probably thinking for filming, hey, table it.
Yeah.
Let's show us as a happy couple. But I think it's too much for her to be like, fuck you. I hate you so much right now. I'm not tabling this shit. I don't care what show I'm on. Fuck you.
Totally. That's how it felt.
So I think her emotions are real and raw. And I think he's trying to like sugarcoat it. Like, hey, Bubba, let's not air out our relationship on TV. Like, I don't want people to see a bad side of me. And she's like, fuck you.
Totally. That's how
everyone thinks I'm the devil. And Andy Cohen's poll, who said are you on? Schwartz or Katie? Oh, that's fucking 80% Schwartz. You know what, Katie? Air that shit out. Force him to air it out. Force him to be the asshole.
And again, I feel like the normal viewer who just tunes in week to week is like, oh, like, poor Schwartz. Like, how could he put up with Katie?
No.
But no. The eagle eye viewer like us, we see you, Schwartz.
Yes.
And you're a dick. Katie, you're a dick. But I definitely do see both sides, and for sure.
This is exactly why Bo won, as like there's a poll out there, like hottest, whatever. Why everyone's responding to Bo so well is because Bo represents what Schwartz used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Season 1, 2, Schwartz. Oh, the happy-go-lucky. Oh, shucks. Like humble, modest. Oh, shucks. Bo is representing that now, but still with funny hijinks. Schwartz has just become dark, and there's a whole side that we're seeing of the marriage that he's hiding, and also his wellness on like what's going on. He's still a good looking guy. He was fucking pale as a ghost. He reminded me of someone that I know and you know that has a problem. He was so ghostly white. And again, he lives in LA. How can you be that white where you're almost ghostly and you have dark circles? And I'm just worried about his wellness. Like, I think there's some dark shit happening. I don't know. It's not my place to speculate, but I think he's trying to like, hey, Katie, let's not like showcase this. And she's just like, she's spent. She's I don't even fucking care anymore. It is what it is.
Yeah.
I'm putting it out there. All right. Okay. On that lovely high note.
Yeah. Next week looks really good. It's a to be continued. They left us hanging, wondering like what's going to happen. It's looks like it's just going to get more awkward. Looks like we run into a Stassi and Bo problem. Looked really good.
Yeah, that looks good.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay, bye.
Bye.